I just have a picture of some of us here who feel that your dress is not right. Your wedding dress is dirty, or it's full of blemish. And it's just condemnation. You're not ready for, you're not actually even excited because you feel ashamed. That bridegroom's going to walk down if he sees me like this. I'm not ready. And I just feel that God says that he paid it all on the cross.
Amen.
When his blood flowed for you, he sees you like this perfect bride. He sees you white. He's cleansed you from everything. He doesn't look at all those that you see. He doesn't even see it. He just looks at you with complete, you're just perfect through his blood.
I just want to confirm that I'm having the picture of the five virgins with the extra oil and the five without the oil. And then when the oil burned out, the five without the oil asked the five with the extra oil if we can't have some of your oil. And they said, no, you can't, go and buy your own. And then when they went away to go and get their oil, Jesus came back and he took them in. But the ones without the oil came and they knocked, but the door was already closed. And I just believe God is saying to us that the oil is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that God wants our lamps to burn with his fire, with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And God is really dealing with me just about the Holy Spirit at the moment. And I heard someone saying, but speaking in tongues is for the inner room. It's not to be speaking about. And I was upset about it. And I said, God, why? What is it? And God gave me an answer. And it's the Holy Spirit is the seal of the new covenant. The Holy Spirit is the seal of the new covenant. It's the ring that he has given us. And when we speak in tongues, it's a sign of the new covenant that he has given us. It's a sign that we have got another helper, the Holy Spirit, where Jesus himself said it's to our advantage that he must go away, that he will send us the Holy Spirit. And I just got the picture. If I hide my ring, if my wife hides her ring or I hide my ring, I don't want people to know that we're married, how she wouldn't feel or how I wouldn't feel if my wife would hide it. And I just sensing God is saying that we're hiding our rings, that he wants us to come again in the Spirit of God to really seek and be hungry for the Word, for the Spirit of the Lord, and not to quench his Spirit, but to be open, to be drenched, to be filled with the Spirit of God. I just want us to just open, and as he just said, if you are that person, and if there's anyone with a word that want to confirm, or just a word that you believe the Lord is giving you, or a picture, but if you can just open your hands, and just as we pray in the Spirit, just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and fill me now. Come and fill us, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just pray, Lord God, that you come and touch us now, Lord. Come and touch us. Lord, your word said you will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire, Lord. God, we pray for a baptism of your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Jesus, Lord, we are so hungry for you, Jesus. Would you come and touch us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I want to bring every person who feel not worthy, Lord. And I just speak the grace of you, Lord God, over them. The power of God, Lord. And I declare that they've been declared sinless before you because of the blood of Christ. In the name of Jesus. That there's no effort, there's no works on our part, Lord, to come into your presence. Just our faith in you, Jesus. Just our faith in you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Robert and Ben. Thank you very much. It's my huge pleasure to introduce to you Kat Akavalos from Franschhoek. Kat and I and Yanni. Where's Yanni? He's probably in the back. There's Yanni and Alex. Yeah, we can give them a clap because it's a miracle. We used to be in a cell group together and we prayed many prayers together, and Kat challenged me tremendously. And I'll just share the one thing that she said to me the one day. She said, "Do you know what it says in John 3:16? I said, "Yeah, it says, for God so loved the world." And then she said, "But do you know what it says in 1 John 3:16? I wasn't sure. Do you know what it says in John 1:3:16? But then she said, "For God so loved us that he died for us, and so he wants us to die for our friends. Do you love me? Will you die for me?" And I must be honest, Kat, I didn't love you then. No, but now I will. and it just, and for us, they've been going through a tough time. Now God bless them with Alex, and it's been a long walk for them. They're really people of faith. Yanni is the guy who got bitten by a snake. He was in the mountain. It was 3 hours away, 2 hours. He was running an hour later, and he phoned his wife. He says, "Don't freak out." And he says, "What? I've been bitten by a snake." And then by the time he came to the doctor started crying because he was meant to be dead 2 hours before that already. But just the power of God. And God spoke to him, said, "Pray in the spirit." And he started speaking in praying in his tongue when the snake bit him. And there's just the power of the Holy Spirit that I really want to encourage you to seek God for, because God is faithful. And the doctor made a commitment to the Lord as well that day because he saw the power of God. And it's because of the faithfulness of the Lord. So with that note, Kat, we want to introduce you, and we're looking forward to receiving you this morning.
Thank you. Wow. Actually, something happened a bit more recently, and my husband's probably going to tell me off for this, but babe, do you think you could just come share a testimony? Something just happened very recently that, again, showed us the power of God and the power of speaking in tongues. And so I just want Yanni to come and share something that just happened the other day. This is the most gorgeous man on the planet.
Good morning, everybody. Wasn't really planning to be up here. It was meant to be my Sunday off while Kat preaches. But thank you, darling. It's really great to be back here in Somerset West. Theo and Lynette, Paul Revere and his wife, and Kat and I were part of the core group that planted this church many years ago. And as Theo said, we've actually moved on to Franschhoek, and we pastored the church there in Franschhoek. So let me quickly tell you the story. I shared it at our staff meeting the other day. We have a little dog. His name is Max. He's 2 kilos, tiny little Yorkshire Terrier. And Theo said he's not a dog, but he is a dog. Right, so it was about 6:30 in the morning, and I took little Max for a walk around. We've got a reservoir a couple of blocks away from where we live. And I was listening to praise and worship, and I was really enjoying my time with the Lord. And we were heading our way back, and because the music was so great and I was really connecting with the Lord, I decided to, instead of go on a normal route home, I decided to take an extended route home. Now, the extension of the route home entailed crossing a field. So as I stepped my foot on the field, the Lord burdened on my heart, and I just felt very strongly, you need to pray in tongues. It's not 7 in the morning now by this stage. I'm praying in the spirit, but the Lord says to me, no, you need to warfare in the spirit. So now I start to warfare in my tongue, and I'm kind of looking around because there's residential houses on lining the field, and I am a public figure in a small town, you know, so I didn't really want to wake up the neighbors. Anyway, I'm obedient to what the Lord asked me to do. And at the end of the field, Max runs ahead, and there's a fence. And behind the fence are 2 big black male Dobermans, probably like 40 kilos each. And Max is 2 kilos, so he goes and he taunts them on the other side of the fence. And they're barking at each other and going quite crazy, snarling and making a scene. And as I walk up, I call Max, and Max is obedient, and he came along. And as I came along, these 2 big black dogs came out the front gate, and they had bloodlust in their eyes. Their lips were snarled, their teeth were red, their muscles were rippled. They were about to pounce on Max and rip him to pieces. Now, all of this happened in an instant. You must understand, it happened in an instant. I was standing there, and all I did was shout out. I don't even know what I shouted out. I can't even remember. It was just a shout. And as I shouted, these 2 big black dogs turned up, looked at me, turned around, and walked back into their yard. Now, I shouted so loud that the neighbor from across the street came out, who happened to be Father Gavin Mitchell, who's the Anglican priest in our town. And he came to me and he said, "That gate is never opened. Those dogs are ferocious, and that gate is always locked. Now, I'm standing there. I've picked up Max by this stage. I've got adrenaline pumping around my body, and I'm in a bit of a state, to be honest. Shock, horror, awe of what God's just done. And as I'm walking home, I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me through this? Why did this happen this morning? That gate should have been locked. You told me to pray in tongues. What's going on? A little bit later, I was in my quiet time, and he said this to me. He said, Yanni, because let me just explain to you, our church has been under severe spiritual attack and pressure over the last month or so. Intense. And he said to me, Yanni, just as easily as I saved Max from those two big black dogs, I can save you and I can save the church in an instant. I protect you without you knowing. All you have to do is focus on me. Keep your eyes on me. Worship me and pray in tongues.
Thank you. So I hope that encourages you. Amen. God is with us. If he is for us, who can be against us? So, wow, what a privilege. I know some of you, I spent the weekend with some of you at Awaken. Who was at Awaken? Amazing. How amazing was that? Hey? Well, you're in for a treat tonight. I know Anita's coming tonight, and this woman is amazing. She will blow your mind. The woman knows the word of God, and she's on fire for God. So I'm very excited. I think I definitely will be here. And I just want to commend you guys. Like Yanni said, you know, we started out here in Somerset West. The only net were our first ever small group facilitators. And they met this crazy Greek couple who just arrived from America, who had just got saved, had a lot of questions, a lot of arguments. And, you know, Yanni said we started here together, and I'm just blown away by this church, the people, and especially the heart. At Awaken, you guys shone. Your church volunteered in the most hard position, the most hardest, and they did it with smiles and respect, and they just honored us as women. And I just want to bless you guys and say that is such a heart of God, the servant heart, and to do it with such amazing openness to just blessing people. So I just want to congratulate you. I think you should give yourselves a round of applause. Really, really do. And I just want to encourage you not to stop giving of yourselves, not to stop just serving God in every capacity that he leads you to. So thank you, guys. We just want to and they were so good looking as well, all of them. So like dapper, looking very protective, like, I felt very protected. There wasn't a moment I felt I was going to get kidnapped. Not once. So yeah, thank you very much. Can I just pray for myself? If you just give me a moment. Lord, I'm just so grateful to you, Father, for who you are. Mighty is your name forever and ever, Lord, worthy of all praise and glory. And Lord, as I come into this place, God, I thank you for the honor, the privilege to share your word, to be a vessel, Lord. Father, I just take authority in the spiritual realm right now. I thank you, Lord, that you will order my thoughts. I thank you for the mind of Christ. I thank you that every word and every thought, Lord, would honor you, would bless you. And Lord, I just thank you that I can take spiritual authority over the atmosphere in this place. And I say, Lord God, that your word would go forth to do what you intend for it to do. Nothing, not one word would fall to the ground. Not one word would be stolen. Lord, people would hear exactly what they must hear from your heart. I come against any demonic spirit that would want to come and falsify or disrupt your word, dishonor your word in any way. In the name of your holy son, Jesus, God, we know that you are God. You are Yahweh. And we serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, man, it's such a privilege. You know, I know there's some giants in this church. A lot of these people discipled me. I mean, I saw Tracy this morning, and she was my F3 facilitator when I first joined Shofar Church. So it's like, as I said, quite a privilege. But you know, this subject is something that is so dear to my heart. It's something that I believe it's for every age. I believe every person struggles with this. And so just to introduce myself a little bit more, my name is Kat Akavalos. It's short for Katerina. And I live with my very super gorgeous husband and our super gorgeous baby in a little town called Franschhoek. And as you said, we have a dog called Maximus and a cat called Shay. Some useless information you might be excited about. I was born in a much smaller town called Ishawi. That's in Zululand. Okay, does anybody know that? Former Zululand, KwaZulu-Natal. Yay. Okay, we've got some. And so that makes me a Zulu. Okay, also, my parents were Greek immigrants. My dad can barely speak English. What else can I tell you about myself? I've traveled quite extensively, but I've never been to Paris. Another piece of information, just Yeah. So I'm just trying to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm sure I could actually sit and have a conversation with a lot of you, and you could tell me about yourself. But I want to ask you a question. From the bit I've just told you about me, do you think you know me? Do you think you know who I am? I doubt it. And you can ask someone like Des, who's a personal friend of mine. You can ask her, and she'll probably tell you Kat's quite loud, and Kat likes to cook, and a few other things. Do you think you'd know me then? See, none of these things define me. None of these things I can tell you. I can tell you even more. I can tell you about my shady past. I can tell you where the Lord found me and what I looked like in that state. I can tell you about how I chose to live my life as in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I could probably try and freak you out with some facts. Not, what's the point? And you still wouldn't know me because my past does not define me. You see, I'll tell you something. The day that Jesus Christ came and met with me, I was in California on a dusty road, weeping my eyes out. On that very day, the Son of God himself came and introduced himself to me. And he came in on his white horse. He was my savior. And he came and offered me his hand. And until that very day, I could not tell you what defined me. I could not tell you who I was by anything that I've just told you, because I was having an identity crisis. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about this morning. I think it's something that whether you've just got saved, whether you've not come to know the living God himself yet, or whether you've been around for a really long time, that this is what the enemy wants us to live in, a state of an identity crisis. Not knowing our identity, being confused as to who we are, being defined by what the world says we are. And that's what I want to talk about today. And like I said, to me, this is for every generation. It's what I believe that our young people need to know. I believe it's what our old people need to know. I counsel people all the time. And I know I go through this all the time. People struggling with an identity crisis. So if you'll bear with me, I'm really amped and just super excited to be here to share this with you. And also, as you can see, I'm from the Ark. So I use paper, really badly scribbled on paper. I haven't figured out the iPad. I've got one. It's very good. It's very nice. It's pretty. Okay. So I would like, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to a scripture that I would like for us to read. So Psalm 139 from verse 13. You see, like I said to you before, I had lived this life. I had made all these wrong choices. So in my mind, I thought my past also defined me. I thought that my mistakes defined me. I don't know if any of you can relate to anything I'm saying. I'm sure none of you can. I'm sure everyone has been very well behaved their entire lives. But I wasn't. I made some very crazy choices in my life. And I thought those things defined me. I took that on as my identity. If you had met me before I met Jesus Christ, you would have met a very hardened person. I was proud of being a bad girl. Because it protected me. It was my shell. It was what I used. Because if you messed with me, I was going to take you out. With my words, with vulgarity, I would break you down because that was my protection. Do you understand? That was my identity. That's who I saw myself as. I believed myself to be the black sheep of our family. I didn't think anyone in our family even liked me, never mind loved me. So this is who I was and I believed myself to be. And one day when I did get saved, it was just when the Lord was working in my heart, someone told me what my name meant, and they said to me, it means purity and grace, and I packed out laughing. I thought, no, you don't absolutely know me. There is nothing pure about this person, nothing, and there's nothing graceful about me either. I thought myself to be so ungraceful. I purposely was ungraceful, if you know what I'm saying, because that would be to being too weak and vulnerable, and only when I found out what I was, and only when I started to go to the Word and started to read Scripture, that I start to understand that God knew exactly what He was doing when He named me. You see, He knew the plans He had for me. And look what the Bible says in Psalm 139. It says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. Amen. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's how I see my son. And you know, do you know what that word fearfully means? It doesn't mean, ooh, scary. No, it says, the Bible means that all of creation stood in awe. It's an awestruck fear. It's that kind of fear we have towards the Lord. It's like awe is what that means, fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's who you are. And read Psalm 1:8. Psalm 8:3. I think I've got it as well. It says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him? Guys, do you know that God cares for you? Do you know that? Can you believe that? Because let me tell you something, sometimes it feels really hard to believe that. The living God, Yahweh himself, cares for you. He formed you for his purposes. So as I started to meditate on the word, on these scriptures, I started to understand who I was. And the shame of my past started to go. I started to realize that my mistakes were not mine. They were his. And they were for his glory. There's no shame. I can tell you honestly, I have no shame. I'm not ashamed of that girl. I love her. And God loves her. And he loves you. And he wants you to know that today. He wants you to know that he formed you just the way he wanted you. He defines you. God defines you. It's the difference between what we feel and what we are. Do you understand that? The word of God, what he says, is the difference between what you feel about yourself, your past, your mistakes, everything the enemy wants to come and tell you about yourself. That's what you're feeling. And what you are is what the word of God says. I don't know if you guys know an artist called Lecrae. Do you know Lecrae? He's one of my absolute favorite artists. And he says, you know, salvation is not a feeling. It's a position. So what you're feeling about yourself, what you believe about yourself, it's not the truth. What God says about you is the truth. And it's a position. You move to it. Okay. So he says, God says, now the word is the truth. So we can feel fear, but we don't have to be afraid. Because God says in his word, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If you want to put that down, it's 2 Timothy 1:7. Good one to repeat to yourself. So how many of you know that meditation brings revelation? Do you know that? I want to encourage you today that meditating on the word of God will bring you revelation. If you go to the word sometimes and you open the word and you read these things, but they just bounce off you, that you feel like, who's this talking about? What does this even mean? I want you to take some of those scriptures as the Lord leads you and to meditate on them. Put your name in there. Just meditate on the word and it will, the revelation will come, I guarantee you. By the Spirit of God, the revelation will come. Okay, so that's what the word of God does for us. It says, maybe we don't feel confident, but we can be confident in Jesus. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Amen. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So your confidence is not in yourself. It's in this weak place, in this place of pain, in this place of agony, but move into the place the word is talking about. So according to the Bible, you are a warrior. Do you know that? I'm Greek and we have a tribe called the Spartans. Has anyone seen 300 or some very gory movie made about, yeah. And they love to wear like their armor and their gear and they are warriors and they wield swords. And I always love the idea of being a warrior princess. I think every girl does, hey? Okay, but guys, you're warriors too, okay? But that's what you're called to be. That's what you're called to be. And I know you guys have heard that. And we constantly talk about the word of God being our sword. But you guys need to understand that this really is a sword. The Bible calls the word a sword. If you say God's word and you swap the words around, it's God's sword. Good one. Okay. So look what it says in the scripture, Ephesians 6:17. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I loved what Anita said over the weekend. It talks about, she spoke about intimacy with God. And she spoke about that kiss, that intimate kiss that we've spoken about, that we know. So, and she said it's the word of God. So it's this intimate kiss that's a sword. You see, it's a kiss going in and it's a sword going out. Amen. It's a very exciting sword we've got. And a lot of what the Lord allows in our lives, even what you're going through right now, I don't know a lot of you. I know some of you. But what the Lord allows in our lives is for his glory. He doesn't want you to sit back and just accept the circumstances in your life. He wants you to stand up and use your sword. See, that's how he grows us. That's how our faith grows. As Theo said, you know, Jan and I have been through a very exciting faith journey, and it continues. And you know what? Bring it on. Okay. 5 minutes break, though. Okay. No, really, every circumstance in your life is an opportunity to stand up and use what God has equipped you with. He's given you everything you need. He's given us everything we need. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So we need to be saying about ourselves what God is saying about us, about our future. And I said to you, like sometimes us are weary. We get weary. We get tired. We start to not believe, you know. The enemy loves to tell us the stuff that he loves. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. Loves to pick on us and just pinpoint every mistake. Loves to tell you you're not worthy. Loves to tell you, to make you feel condemned, buried. But you know what? Start to meditate on what the Word of God says. And at the end, I've got a slide which I just put down a whole bunch of scriptures. If you feel like it, it's going to be up for a while at the end, and you just write some, if you don't know where to go. But the Word is just so beautiful and so full of amazing scripture. So go and meditate. But you know, often we lose sight of who we are, and we start to believe the negative stuff. But at the end of the day, what we're doing is criticizing the handiwork of God. Do you know that? Okay, I've got a quote here by Joyce Myers. It says, "In the world, identity is in crisis. Physio-social state of disorientation and role reversal. People don't know who they are, what they are, why they're here, creating a mess. Everyone is running around trying to please other people, trying to be what everyone thinks we should be, wearing masks." Anyone there? Do you agree with that at all? So the thing I want to remind you is I know who we are in ourselves, but who we are in Christ is who the Word says we are. And I can tell you, you know what? It even happens when you're trying to please God. When you're running around trying to be super good for God. Trying to earn His approval because you don't believe that you're worth anything. You don't believe that He loves you so unconditionally that no matter what you do, it's not going to change that. He loved you the same the day you were saved to this very day. It's not going to change. Relish in it. Love, enjoy His love. But you know what we do? We run around. I'll tell you guys, I landed up in a situation where I landed up being totally burnt out because I was trying to prove myself to God and to my colleagues and to my friends and to our church. And I was running around trying to be someone, be the pastor's wife that doesn't have a crazy past and says stupid things. Be quiet. It's not who I am. I can't sit and envy you. I can't sit and want to be Lynette. Otherwise, I don't appreciate who Lynette is. Have you ever thought of that? You know, you can't be Rob. He's my favorite artist, let me tell you. No, really. I have burnt out two of his CDs. I just love his CDs. But you can't want to be Rob Kellerman. He is him, and you cannot, otherwise you will not appreciate the gift that God has given him to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to appreciate who you are. You are a gift. You bring your own flavor, your own sound. Amen. So we can't compare ourselves to anyone. Like I said, you know, if I had to sit and compare myself to the woman that spoke at Awaken this weekend, I wouldn't have come here this morning. I would have sent a note. You would have all gone to Sunday school. But here I am. And you know what? God will speak to you using me, even me. He will reach you, even me, because it's not me. It's Christ in me. And He will touch your life. And you will touch others. And you will touch everybody out there with who you are. Celebrate who you are because God does. Okay, so that's my first point. If you want to know your identity, meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word. God chose us. Who are we to argue? Amen. He chose us before the beginning of time. He is the Creator. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've looked like, no matter what we look like, no matter when God's Spirit comes into us and chooses to work through us, He transforms us for His glory. So God picked you. He chose you. He named you. Do you know what your name means? It's God's blessing over your life. No one can take that away. Every time someone says your name, they're speaking your blessing. It's your identity. It's who you are. It's you. Ephesians 1:4. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. We're already all these things in Christ. We just need a revelation of being in Christ, knowing who we are in Him, which brings me to my second point, Ephesians 1:7. In Him, we have redemption, inheritance, joint heirs with Christ. Go on, go on, go on. Go and see who you are in Him. But if you do not believe what He says, all the meditation cannot help you. So the first point is meditate on the Word. Find out what God says about you. Your Creator, He made you. He knows who you are. Okay. Secondly, though, believe it. You cannot believe it, though, without revelation, and revelation comes through relationship. We cannot believe. Can you? Okay. If you don't know that I'm a trustworthy person, can you believe everything I say? Especially in this world that we've been told so many lies and so many things. Don't you need to know the character of a man and person before you believe them? Please don't believe everything you hear. Really, don't. Especially on the media. But really, don't you want to know the character of a man before you trust them? And that's what it comes to believing everything Jesus says. If you don't know who He is, how are you going to believe Him? What does it mean, even? You know, Yanni, last year, while I was pregnant, he went on a mission trip to the Ukraine, and hormones and various, and the Lord's will, while he was away, I had a major meltdown. I literally, every feeling of insecurity I ever had, every feeling of abandonment I ever had, came flooding back to me. And over the 2 weeks that he was away, I spent nights weeping, broken. The enemy was just having an absolute field day with me. And I was believing every single word. But you know what the Lord did? He came, you know, like I said, I had come to a place where I realized I had dried up because I was running around so hard trying to be. Again, I get saved, right? I get this amazing identity, boom, like that. Okay, just gives me these robes. He says, Kat, that's who I made you to be. You're pure. That's it. That's who you are. You're not the girl you were. This is who you are, right? But no, what do I do? Like someone, like Rob said, I saw my garments as soiled. So what did I do? I started scrubbing my own garments. I started doing my own laundry. Never do that. Not me. I can't iron to save my life. No, sorry. But truth is, you can't start running around trying to perform for God. So what I did was I was knackered. I was tired. I was dry. And God said to me, come back here, my girl. Come back and sit by my feet. Come back and let me tell you who you are. Not even at my feet. He put me on a pedestal. By the time my husband got back, man, I had such attitude, you will not believe. I was like, who are you? I'm so in love with Jesus. But no, but the point is he restored me, and he started to remind me, and he started to just confirm again in the Word. I just started to dive into the Word again. I had taken my eyes off my Savior and I put them on my spots. The lies that I started to believe. I wasn't believing what God was saying about me. I was believing the lies again. Condemnation. I was starting to look to my past and saying, I'm not good enough. Don't have the education. Not thin enough. Not pretty enough. All the stupid things that don't matter. God defines me. And only by knowing again who my Savior was, only again by falling into His arms, and did I start to dance again, and did I start to be free again, and did I start to flow again, and did I start to believe what He was saying about me? Guys, if you've stopped believing, everything we have by faith. Do you know that? You don't deserve anything you have. Everything we have by faith. It's only in believing God is who He says He is, and that you are who He says you are. Please, so, one, meditate on the Word, and secondly, believe what the Word says about you. So, and my third point is, where do we get our value? Where do we get our worth? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So where are you getting your value from? Who are you comparing yourself to? What image are you comparing yourself to? Because that's what we do. We take an image, we compare ourselves. And if it's not the image of Christ, it's an image that the world is putting before you. Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put Christ before you. He is our example. He is who we compare ourselves to. So it's not possessions, it's not titles, it's not education. Those things do not give you value. That's not your worth. Your past, not your value. It's not your worth. We were talking at Awaken our first evening. Anna Abok. And she works with her husband, and their ministry is they work amongst the prostitutes and the drug dealers and the really broken, hardened people on the streets. And she was just talking about how hard it is to get through to them, how hard it is to, they've just got such boundaries. They've got such hardness around them. And you know, she goes, she says, if you go in with any judgment, if you go within any inch of judgment, they can spot you a mile off. You're not worth anything if you go in with judgment. But how do we judge ourselves? How hard are we on ourselves? Sorry, the devil comes in to bring doubt, but we need to focus on with the Lord. Sorry, I just need to catch up with myself here. Okay, practically, how do we get back to our worth? Practically. So number one, we understand the promises of God. We meditate on the word to tell us our identity. Number two, we take on the life Christ offers. We believe what we are in Christ, more than a conqueror, saved, redeemed, chosen generation. And three, we start to live out of the abundance that he has given to us. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's not only hearing the truth that sets us free, it's knowing the truth, believing the truth, and walking in the truth. And that's my third. Jesus is the truth, guys. If you position yourself in Christ, Proverbs 4 says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. We are called to be doers of the word. Don't just hear God's promises and then walk away and forget all about them, as Mark says. We often, this is something I believe that God is warning all of us of, and it's a danger for all of us, especially in our churches that we're so very well fed. Okay, we've got a lot of amazing programs to equip us and everything like that. But you know what the problem is? Week after week, even as pastors, it's our biggest responsibility. Week after week, we come to church, we hear a message. It's great. It makes us, I'm bad. Me bad. My bad. Sorry, Lord. Oh, I'm so emotional. Weeping. Sorry, guys, I'm not ripping anyone off. I know I've done this, okay? We love the whole emotional, what seems like repentance. Okay, we come, we listen to the word. We even might talk to friends about it during the week. Okay, I'm not going to look at anybody in particular. I'll just look at myself. The truth is, though, what do we do with that word? And guys, this is the danger. God holds you responsible for every word that you hear. And I'm not coming to put a condemnation trip on you. I'm saying God loves you, but you have a responsibility to accept, to open your heart and say, yes, Lord, come in and do that work in my heart. Come in and soften those hardened places that have believed the lies. Come and do the work. Have a moment of reckoning. Get on your knees and get busy with God. Allow him to do the work in you. So the Bible calls us to be doers of the word, faith and action. So start to live from that abundance. Get your sword out and use it. Take a stand against fear, doubt, shame. Do it. Don't lie there and allow it to consume you. You know, I recently went, we tried for 8 years. I'm not going to tell you my whole, another time a testimony. It would be my great privilege to share a testimony of what God has done in our lives. But it took 8 years for me to have a child. So in those 8 years, the devil played with my mind. Shame was my middle name. I used to often break down and repent to my husband. I'm so sorry. I'm so worthless as a woman. Why? Because I was believing that. But then it goes one worse. God gives me this child. And then I can't hold him. I go into early labor. 28 weeks, my waters broke. I went into early labor. Shame. I can't hold my child. Couldn't fall pregnant. Couldn't hold him. Worthless. While he was in hospital, I was traveling backwards and forwards every day. Eventually, I couldn't breastfeed anymore. Sorry if it's too personal for some of you guys. It's very natural. But it was the third strike for me. Couldn't fall pregnant. Couldn't carry him, couldn't feed him. Clearly worthless. Wasn't supposed to have him. And I lay there and allowed the enemy to kick me and kick me and kick me. I didn't get up. I knew the truth. Thank God he had people praying for me all the time, ministering to me. But I lay there and got beaten up righteously. Until one day, some friends of mine came around me and said, Kath, sit down. We are going to minister to you, girl. You need to hear some truth. And they did. And let me tell you, you need to pick up that sword yourself and say, lies, be gone. This is what God says about me. He says, there shall be none barren amongst thee. I hold on to that promise. I do not live under curse. I'm the redeemed. Do you understand? More than a conqueror. Walking on serpents and scorpions. Speak it. Speak the word. Believe the word. Live the word. Do it. Not in your own strength. I'm not telling you to run out and try and be heroes in your own strength. In Christ. In Christ. I cannot stand here in my own strength. Completely am I unworthy. How dare I? But in Christ, I can, because He is in me and He will bless you. Amen. In Christ you can do all things. So be doers of the word. I'd like to just tell you what God says about you. God says, I love you. I love you. I call you by name. I pursue you with everlasting love, constantly. I formed you in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you were to think of yourself as I think of you, oh, how different you would be. I want you to love yourself as I love you. That's what God's saying to you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. If you're living under a shroud of condemnation, of lies, of a religious spirit that just wants to kick you, of a condemning spirit that wants to just keep you down under burden, today, I'd like us to just speak truth. I'd like us to pray together if we might. If any of you would like prayer, there are amazing leaders in this church. There's amazing counselors in this church that will gladly stand with you in agreement. Guys, let me tell you something. The lies of the devil win because we keep them covered. So if you are sitting with shame, do you know how, like Sonika said yesterday about even as pastors or as pastors' wives or as leaders, we're ashamed to say we deal with depression. And what do? We keep it wrapped undercover. So what happens? It never gets delivered, never brings to the light, never gets set free. We walk around with it. So today I'm urging you, if the enemy is lying to you and if you've been believing anything that is not what God is saying about you, there is freedom. Amen. Okay, if we could just pray. Lord, you are our healer. Lord, you are our deliverer. Lord, we come into your presence this day, God, and we just bow the knee. We just present our hearts to you today, Lord. Lord, we present every broken heart, every broken bit of shame, condemnation, envy, things that have been killing us, God, things that have been strangling us and causing us to just stand still where we are and not move in your spirit, not be effective in your kingdom. Lord, we just bring everything to the altar this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord, which is a lamp unto our feet, God. We thank you for your word that sets us free. We just present ourselves to you this day. And we say, Lord, come and have your way in us. Come and deliver us from every lie, Lord. Come and expose, God, the condition of our hearts. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus right now. I pray for every person in this room that is having a hard time believing that you love them. Every person, God, that has allowed the enemy to convince them of their worthlessness. I pray today, Lord, for a revelation of their worth. Would you minister to them, Lord? By your Spirit, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Guys, thank you for the greatest privilege. I pray that something gets rooted deep in your heart, that the Lord will do a good thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want all of us just to stand. And I just really sense that the word that Kat has brought us is very crucial for us as a congregation, for where we are and where God wants us to where God wants to bring us to, and I just maybe even want to repent from my side. Now, God has been really dealing with me in terms of the joy of the Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know, and I've been saying quite a lot that when people that you really love die around you so much, then you just don't have strength to walk in the joy of the Lord. And I really believe that God wants to restore the identity that we have in Christ. And He has not given us a spirit of slavery, of bondage to fear. God has not called us to be slaves. He has not called us to be orphans. But He's given us a spirit of adoption by whom we can call Him Abba Father. God has adopted us as His children. We are children of the God Most High. And we are not slaves. We are not orphans. And when the President of America, J.F. Kennedy, when he was speaking to all his senators and all the people around him and all the people that were speaking into his life, when his little boy came in, he would stop everything and says, "Boy, what do you want?" Because he's his son. And this is what we have. We have the right to come into the presence of God at any time and to call Him Abba, Daddy. And He stops everything and He gives attention to us right where we are. And that's our identity. It's not what we do, but it's who we are. It's who we are in Christ. But we're not only His children. We are heirs and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance. Each one of us have an inheritance in Christ. We're not called to survive. We are called to inherit. And God says our children will have an inheritance. And our children's children will have an inheritance because of our position in Christ. And this is the huge breakthrough for all of us to walk to what we see in the Word, to believe that God has called us into that. And there is a garment of heaviness, or a spirit of heaviness upon us. And I believe God wants to take the garment of heaviness, of the spirit of heaviness. He wants to take the spirit of heaviness away and give us a garment of praise. That in the presence of the Lord, there is freedom. This is what I really believe that God is saying to us today, that in His presence, with the presence of the Lord, is there is freedom. I really believe God wants to heal you today. He wants to heal you of shame, and He wants to heal you of rejection. That we've been rejected and we've been lying to the words that Kat has been saying, of what the devil is lying to us. He's telling us, "You are not worthy. See, they don't like you. Nobody likes you." And that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I want to encourage you to respond to Jesus today. To respond to the call of Christ. To say, "I, in faith, will respond. And I will come forward. And I don't care what people are saying about me. But I'm coming to Jesus today. Because I'm not an orphan. I'm not a slave. I am a son. I'm a daughter of the God Most High. In the name of Jesus." And if we are going to be accused and feel sorry for ourselves, then we are slaves. We are orphans. If we are going to judge one another, if we're going to become upset with one another, it's a sign that we are slaves, that we are orphans. If we're going to complain, it tells me that you're an orphan. And I want to say to you, as I said to someone this week, I am an orphan. I am a slave. I know that. But in Christ, I've overcome and I've become and I've declared that I am a son in the name of Jesus. I'm a son of God. I've been adopted as God. We all struggle in this area. And this is why I really believe God has come to set us free, to believe what God is telling us and not to know it. Not to know it in your mind, but to know it in your spirit. So as we just come before God, I want to encourage you. I want to invite you to respond. And not to resist the call of God. Because as Kat had said, we are going to be held accountable to every word that's been spoken. Every altar call that we resist, we're going to be held accountable before God. It says, "I spoke to you, I called you, but you resisted me." The Bible says we must not quench the Holy Spirit. We must not resist the Holy Spirit. And this is one where God is clearly speaking to us. And if you are one of those first people that knows, "I need to go forward," because God supernaturally wants to heal you of shame and of rejection and establish you as a son or a daughter of God, as an heir with an inheritance in the name of Jesus. as we can just come before the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to just start praying in the Spirit, just singing in the Spirit. And if you need to respond, that we just respond to the Lord and let Kat come and pray with you. Because there's clearly anointing if you're a girl that God wants to set you free. In the name of Jesus.
As we were singing the song actually earlier, I wasn't very obedient. I was supposed to come to the front and just share what God laid on my heart. And I just sense an incredible love for every single person in this place from God. And it really just touched me. And it wasn't just for me. And I know it was for every single person in here. But it was also for the world out there. And I also just sense there's so many of us that are so broken. And I'm one of those people. We are broken. We live in a broken and fallen world. So what are we to expect? However, we have a mandate to, and we have an opportunity to come before God. We have an opportunity to be whole and to get rid of that brokenness. And I just felt that we don't come to God. We can't get healed if we don't come to Him. And I just want to encourage you this morning, come to Him so He can heal you. We need to be healed. We need to get rid of this brokenness so that we can go out into the world and heal that brokenness. Yes, one day it's going to be beautiful. We're going to be in heaven and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to be there and we're going to be whole. But what about the world out there? How are we supposed to heal the world out there if we are so broken and we don't come before God and we are not that example? So I just want to encourage you. Come before God and respond this morning. If something's tugging on your heart, come to Him. He has such an intense, intense love for every single one of us. Doesn't matter, as Kat said, what you've done or where you're going. He loves us so much. And it was really His heart for us this morning.
I just like to share something quickly. I just feel like there's a massive joy, inexpressible joy in our hearts and inexpressible love in our hearts. And I feel as though God is really calling us to share that with those around us. We're all in situations where there's people that are lost around us. And God's heart is to see them come to Him, for them to experience the same love that we experience, and that massive excitement that's just builds up inside of our hearts. And just to share that with the lost, to share that with those in need, because they don't experience God's joy and His strength, and we do. And it's a bit selfish if we just keep it in and live nominal Christian lives. Where God is calling us to share that love and to be the strength and to be the light in our communities, and not to hide that light under the ground, but to put that light on a mountaintop so the darkness will be exposed, and that the darkness would come to light. So I want to leave that with you guys today. God is doing a great work in our lives, and let's share that with those around us.
Hallo, hello. Ik ga op een Afrikaans praten. Ik wil iets deel. Gisteravond, nadat het weer weekend was, ons gewacht vir die kar om weg te gaan. Toe rakkele nie praat met die Here, want ek is in die afgelopen tyd tamelijk moeg gewees, en is baie dinge wat ek besig met is, en ek het gevoel my krag raak op. En ek het gevoel die Here sê net vir my, weet, kom en slag net na my toe. Weet, los, die goeie, die dinge wat jy doen is reg, maar skuif God dit achter toe, en kom en voorg na my toe. En ek het net, repent voor die Here, en voorg net, en die Here is teenwoordigheid net skielik gekom. En skielik, kon ek net begin dans en sing. En ek het daar hier omtrent 'n uur na die tyd toe almal al weg was, staan en dans ek met die stof staan. En wanneer die Here was eenvoudig net daar, en ek wil dit sê, ek kan dit net vanoggend sê, dat die Here regtig goed is. En dat is, as hy wie ons is en wat ons doen nie, is eenvoudig wie hy is en wat hy deur ons wil doen.
Jesus said that he is leaving, but it's to our advantage that he must go away. Because He will send us another helper, the Holy Spirit. And we will do greater things than what Jesus has done on this earth. We will do greater things than what He has done. He walked on water. Are you ready to walk on water? He healed the sick. He prayed for people with demons and they were set free. He prayed for the blind and they could see. The deaf could hear. Those with lepers could see. God said, we will do greater things than He did. I really believe God wants to do a mighty work in Him. And this today, I really believe, is the beginning of a great breakthrough. So I just want all of us to scream, Jesus. Amen. Jesus! Amen. Now, Father, we thank you, God, that the religious spirit over this church is broken in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that we are children of God, Lord. We are sons, Lord. And we take the position of sonship in opposition in you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we declare, Lord God, we are not only your children, but we are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, Lord God. We have an inheritance and we claim our inheritance, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, God, that we, our identity is in you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord God, for every person who is here, that you will bless them. God, thank you for Kat and for Yanni and for Alex. And we ask you to bless them, Lord God, as they've blessed us this morning, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that we will walk in the fullness of Christ in the name of Jesus. Amen. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.